welcome to the Sports Fathers, episode number 33 for the 8th of July 2014 FIFA World Cup. In today's show, we break down this year's World Cup from the beginning, and we make our predictions for who will emerge victorious. All that coming up next. Hello, everyone. I'm Father Daryl Millett in Watson, Saskatchewan. And here to talk all about the FIFA World Cup, I'm joined by Father Kyle Sanders in New Orleans. Hello, Father Kyle.
Yes.
That's great. That's a great open. Welcome. Yes. So insightful.
Glad to be here.
We also have Father Doug Vu, a parish priest from Birmingham, Alabama. Hello, Father Doug.
Hello, Father Darrow. I'm a local radio here on the Birmingham on WJOX. Welcome to the World Cup.
Wow, we actually have a real broadcaster on our podcast.
Yeah, feel important or something.
But speaking of football, apparently there's some other kind of football being played down in Brazil right now that actually involves using your foot to kick a ball.
It actually uses. Everybody uses their feet except the goalkeeper. I know that probably a lot, some of listeners maybe aren't as big of fans as soccer or football. As you are in maybe hockey or Canadian football or whatever sports we talk about. So it seemed to be good to, like, because the World Cup is a little bit different in the way that it organizes its tournament. So there's actually qualifiers that happen all around the world. There are six qualifying regions: Africa, Asia, Europe, North and Central America and the Caribbean, all one. Oceania, I guess that's how you pronounce that. Oceania.
Really? Okay. I'm learning.
How do you pronounce it?
I always said Oceania. I don't know.
Oceania. Well, it could be that you're Canadian and I'm from New Orleans.
Yeah.
Neither of us can pronounce things properly. And then South America. So from South America, there are six teams that represent South America. There are 13 teams that represent Europe. There's four teams that represent North, Central America, and the Caribbean. There are five teams that represent Africa. There's three teams that represent Asia, and then the one team that represents Oceania. Or Oceania.
Those countries way down there somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, Australia and such.
Yes.
So those teams are, after they qualify, there's, you know, they come and they're then split up into four groups. I mean, eight groups of four teams each. And so the first round, each team plays the other team in its group. So if there's four teams and there's three games, they play each other. And then, so if you win, you get 3 points. If you draw, because there's actually ties in soccer, you don't have to lose or win. So if there are draws, you get 1 point. And if you lose, you get 0 points. And it makes the soccer moms feel bad. Okay, bad joke. That's okay. Thank you. And but sometimes, as it will happen, there will be two teams that have the same number of points. So then whoever has the higher goal differential, and for those of you who are football fans, that's the same concept as a turnover differential. So it's, you know, they have a certain amount of goals that they've scored, and then there's a certain amount of goals that they allowed. And so you use math to put those together, and you might have a goal differential of 2 or a goal differential of -8. You know, depending on how good or bad those games went. And actually, that did happen in the very first group. Cameroon had the worst World Cup at, they had a -8 goal differential.
Oh, wow.
Which was quite embarrassing. However, Father Doug, you can corroborate or deny.
Sure.
I believe this World Cup has been extremely exciting because there has been a lot of goals, and every one of the 32 teams scored at least one goal, which, you know, to me seems that the quality of play is not as centralized as it used to be, maybe 20, 30 years ago. That the quality of play is kind of being built up, especially in the developing countries, in Africa and in Asia, and then the other countries that football is maybe, or soccer is not the main focus, like in the United States.
Well, Father Kyle, just to give you a couple of statistics right now, the total games could be played at this World Cup, it is 64 matches, and so far 60 matches have been played. The average goal has been 2.6 goals per match.
Wow.
Now, for American football, that's just about like average about 3 touchdowns per match, per game. So like 21 points, you know, because each of the American football, like, you know, you have a touchdown for 6 points, and assume that the extra point, a field goal is good, that makes 7 points. So three field goals per team, that's 21. But I understand in America, when they play the college football, I just say like Alabama play Auburn, they can score maybe 30 points and 40 points. So that give us an average right there, right? So the World Cup's about 21 points per game.
Yeah, good call.
And I'm sure, is that how they do that American football up in Canada too, Father?
Pretty much. I think Canadian football tends to be a little higher scoring than American football. We've got a little bit bigger field and a little bit more room for the players to run around. But yeah, similar in concept, though.
So, to get into some of the group stages, there were some fantastic games. And the first one, the most memorable one, was in the second day. It was the Netherlands versus Spain, which was the replaying of the World Cup final from 4 years ago. Spain won that game, the final 4 years ago. And so it was expected, you know, Spain coming into this, that they would have a very strong team and that they would do very well in this World Cup. And they were embarrassed thoroughly by the Netherlands. And when I say thoroughly, I mean thoroughly. Thoroughly.
So what was the score?
It was 5-1.
Wow.
Which is more or less, that's like, you know, that's like 40-7 in an American football game.
Well, so, my Rough Riders lost 48-15 yesterday in CFL. So, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. And it was a very strong win. They commanded the ball. They made Spain look like little kids, which most of the Spanish guys are not little kids. They're very much veterans and very strong. So for them to be able to do that was extremely impressive. And that was just like, you know, the moving on. This is going to be an exciting World Cup because of what of those the promises of what would happen. You know, if the Netherlands are going to beat Spain like that, then what else could happen? Well, the very next day, Costa Rica versus Uruguay. Now, Uruguay is, you know, thought to be one of the better teams in the world, and had a chance at winning. People thought before that had a chance of winning it all. And Costa Rica, who's this little tiny country from the Central America, who has played well in qualifiers. They next to the United States played very well in qualifiers. But they just routed Uruguay 3-1. They made Uruguay look like little kids, which to me is very funny. Because anyway, we'll see about that later.
now the USA was in the group at H, I think, with Germany, Portugal, and USA and Ghana. And because Portugal, it was good soccer, powerhouse soccer in Europe, Germany is, and USA and Ghana. So they nicknamed that group the group of death. And like Father Kyle said earlier, so 32 teams qualify for World Cup. They divide in 8 groups, so each group have 4 teams. And the idea is out of that 4 teams, you want to be either number 1 and number 2 by the end of that, you know, 4-way robin play. So the most point, the most goals to advance it. 2 teams will advance, 2 teams will go home. So the first game, the USA played versus Ghana, and they won that mm-hmm. game 2-1. And that game was, I mean, remember at the last World Cup 2010, Ghana, knocked USA out from the round of 16. So, you know, yeah. So Ghana knocked out USA 2 times, 2 World Cup in a row. So, but anyway, so Clint Dempsey scored in the first 50 seconds. And that built up momentum. And later on, he got injury. He got kicked in the face. So he got his a broken nose. But he played throughout the 50 minutes. And Ghana tied the game 1-1 at the end. One of the play from USA score. In soccer, we call it set piece. And from the corner kick, and scored 2-1. So USA went 2-1 to Ghana.
That day, in the same group, was Germany versus Portugal. And Germany is just like this like, they aren't like superstar of a team. Like, these are all like the greatest players in the world, but they're just, they gel so well as a team and are able to move forward and move back, and they're able to defend well. It's just, it's amazing to watch them play. But they were playing against Portugal, who has admittedly one of the best players in the world, Cristiano Ronaldo. And this guy can create chances and score goals that people don't even dream about as little children, because it's just the way that he's able to move the ball and the way he's able to do things. And we'll talk about that later and what he did to the US. But you know, Germany embarrassed Portugal, scored 4-0. Portugal didn't even get a goal. And Germany just routed them. And it almost showed, we were talking in the last episode about, the player versus the team. Well, mm-hmm. this was that again. It was the player, Cristiano Ronaldo, versus Germany. And it showed again that the team plays better than the player.
Now, were there some allegations of match fixing on that game? I seem to remember reading about some allegations.
Match fixing on Portugal's part?
Well, either one, that the score was already predetermined.
Really?
No, in the past, they did happen. But because, remember, each of the 4 teams per group, so each of the team will guarantee to play 3 games. So the first game was USA beat Ghana 2-1. Germany beat Portugal 4-0. So after the first game, Germany have 3 points with 4 goals. USA have 3 points with, you know, 2 goals. So the next game they play, then USA tied Portugal 2-2, and Germany play Ghana, and they tie each other again too, 2-2. So at that time, Germany have 4 points. USA have 4 points. Ghana and Portugal have 1 point. But to avoid at the last game between Ghana and Portugal and USA versus Germany, both games will play at the same time, so that no one will say, hey, I'll lose it. If you pay me extra, I let you lose like maybe 6 goals so you qualify for the second round. So all the group play at the third game all have to play at the same time, so no one can buy. But in 1974 and in the past, some team, because they only lost 2 games, so they had no hope to go into round 16, then, you know, some of the benefactor will come forward and say, we give you $1 million, can you lose 5-10 goals so that we get in the points and in the goals differentiation, so we advance to the second round. But today is almost impossible.
I found it here. It was a German magazine that was claiming that the other 4-0 game, Cameroon and Croatia, might have been fixed. Apparently, gotcha. FIFA's been expressing substantial doubts about that. But anyway, so it comes up every once in a while.
Yeah, it does. And you know that there's always, it's a news story. Of course, like, it's going to come up. You know, it sells things, because it, you know, FIFA hasn't looked too good with the with the whole thing with regards to where the next World Cup is going to be played in Qatar or however you pronounce it.
Yes.
You know, were they bribing Franz Beckenbauer, the guy, you know, who is working to get in charge of that, and things like that.
Yeah.
Brazil versus Mexico. Mexico almost didn't qualify for the World Cup. The U.S. actually did not fix a game because they could have. In the final qualifier, U.S. was playing Panama. And if they would have let Panama win, Mexico would not have gotten in the World Cup. But the U.S. in good American fashion worked hard and ended up winning that game. But anyway, so Mexico would like squeak into the World Cup, and so nobody really expected much of them. But in their match against Brazil, they held Neymar and the entire Brazilian offense to no goals. Mm-hmm. You know, the Ochoa, their goalkeeper, just had a fantastic game, and Mexico didn't score either. But which was their downfall. But I mean, they really showed the world, hey, we're here and we want to do things, and that, you know, that was quite a statement. But then everybody expected England. England, the foundry of soccer, where soccer or football came from. And they lose against Italy. Surprising. They lose against Uruguay. You know, somewhat Uruguay. Surprising. You know, but then, you know, they lose against Costa Rica. Or tie. They draw against
Costa Rica. Like, yeah, 0-0.
Just like embarrassing. Like they scored 3 goals. England scored 3 goals the entire World
Cup. So out of 3 games, England only had 1 point.
Yeah.
After playing 3 games, they had 1 point. Life from this World Cup is a lot of developing countries become very powerful. For example, all the former World Cup champions will get knocked out of first stage. England, Spain, the reigning championship got knocked out, and Italy.
Yeah.
So all 3 powerful house countries, people watch football or soccer every day. They are all major clubs. And the players earn like $10, $20, $30 million per year, play football, and all their 3 national teams got knocked out on the first round. Just like here in America, I would say maybe like, you know, can you imagine like the New Orleans Saints a couple of years ago when they win a Super Bowl, and the next year on the NFL, they get knocked out, like they just lost the whole season.
Yep. Hey, I'm glad you were there. I can't tell when the internet is lagging or when there's an actual lull in the conversation.
Yeah, I'm just not talking because I don't know what I'm talking about. So,
gotcha. There are 2 more games in the group stages. The first one is Italy versus Uruguay, and this course I think got all over the world because Luis Suarez, Uruguayan striker, fantastic football player. This guy. Just he finds the goal wherever he is, and it phenomenal in England where he plays, but he somehow has this thing that he bites people. He bites
when he gets angry. People. When he gets mad.
He got angry, and so he bit. He was hungry. He wanted an Italian, so he bit an Italian defender, and he was suspended for. 9 international games. Is that correct? 9 international games and 4 FIFA play.
Yeah.
So he's basically was out of the World Cup 1, and then 2, he can't even play for his club once his club starts in August because he's got 4 months.
And 3, he cannot even allow in the next 4 months. He not allow even come to any soccer stadium at all around the world. He only have allowed to watch in soccer at home now. He not allowed to watch even in the stadium anymore for next 4 months.
Yep.
So, he's a wonderful striker though. He played for Liverpool in England, and his club did very well last season at the Premier League in England. But he just. Yeah, because maybe we need to find him a clip of that movies in America movie, Anger Management, and we can send it to him. That may help him.
I'm looking for. Here we are. Great. The final match is Algeria versus Russia. Now Russia has just enough of a team that they could have and they have a fantastic coach who used to actually coach for England, but he didn't do much for England, so he got fired. He's an Italian. but they were expected to move on, but Algeria comes out and says, no, we're not going to let this happen. We are not going to let you move on. And Algeria actually ties the game at the very end of the game to allow them to move on to the round of 16. And to me, that was just an impressive game because, you know, there aren't a lot of strong African teams that have showed that they can compete in world play. And Algeria, with no, they have maybe three or four players that start in Europe. Most of their players are, you know, kind of, so they don't have any big all-stars like most of the other teams in the world in the World Cup this year do. So that was, to me, that was just an impressive feat for them. So then we move on to the round of 16. The first game is Brazil versus Chile.
Brazil versus Chile. They tied the game at 1-1. Now Chile, I think maybe it's, again, some of the poor nations. They here in Birmingham, again, I'm on in the hub of college football. I had to explain to people and say that the pride of the whole nation and anybody on the street cheer. So they tied the game at regular time. A regular football, a soccer match is 90 minutes. And in the knockout stage, after you still tie 1-1, they go to two more periods of extra time. Each of them have 15 minutes, so 30 extra minutes playing time at the end of that game, and they went to penalty shootout. At the penalty shootout, each of the team will shoot 5 penalty. The distance of the penalty is from where the ball to the goal is 11 meters, probably about 12 yards or 12, 13 yards. And the goal is about 8 meter wide, right?
Don't remember. I just know it's the same distance everywhere.
yeah. But I mean, very much, if the wide width of the wall is about 8 meter, and the distance from where the ball we shoot at the goal is only 11 meters, so I mean that's a lot of places you can put that ball into that net and that score. But anyway, Brazil end up win the penalty shootout against Chile for 3-2. So, it's a good game, great game.
Next game, Colombia versus Uruguay. Uruguay without Luis Suarez just shows that they can't operate well without him. They don't even score a goal. And then this guy who has kind of been in the background, Colombia did well in the group stages, but this guy, James, whoever is listening to this, Google James.
James.
Google James. The first thing that's going to come up is James Rodriguez, not LeBron James, not anybody else.
Not the writer of the letter of St. James, you know. James the Lesser.
Apostles. No. This 20-year-old striker from Colombia, who in the midst of the World Cup scored 6 goals. He has the most goals of any particular person in the World Cup this year. And he really, to me, has just, he's what drove Colombia, because Colombia's main star, Radamel Falcao, was injured. And so nobody was expecting them to do anything because their star was injured. But here, this little 20-year-old just takes the world and destroys it. That didn't sound right, did it? You're gonna clap. You're going to clap for the destruction of the world.
You know, why not?
France and Nigeria. France wins. Nigeria put up a fight. They won the African Cup of Nations, but they just weren't enough for France. France, to me, had the most energy moving through the entire cup. Germany and Algeria. Algeria put up a good fight, but the Germans were just too organized. But yeah, come the next game. Yeah, they really are. It's just, it's impressive. But the Netherlands versus Mexico. Y'all, this was a close game. And Mexico had a hard-fought game. And the Netherlands, you know, were pushing forward and doing different things. And there was a questionable call in the box. So that's there's an area called the penalty area right around the goal. That if you are fouled, that automatically means you get one of the kicks that we were talking about earlier. And, well, Arjen Robben, the Holland star, I don't know, Father Doug, what you think, but it looks like that he just dove, that he just acted like he got fouled, and he basically did like a Superman fly, I'm crying, dive kind of thing.
Did he miraculously get up afterwards?
Oh, right after. Like, yeah. There was,
for our listeners out there, though, for in soccer, when someone fouled, understand, so when, you know, there's some gameship that come with it. Like, just say if your team is in a near end zone, a scoring zone, if someone have, you know, you wanna play hard, but you wanna challenge the defense team to make, you know, like maybe a personal foul, so that help you to move some yardage so that you get closer to your goal line. So, you know, so that you get, you know, personal foul, right? How many yards you get for personal foul in football, a regular football?
Depends on
it's 10, 15.
10, 15. Like in hockey, you can actually get a penalty for diving. So
really?
So you don't want to try diving.
You can in soccer too. There's a link in the show notes where it says the dive.
Yeah.
That picture. I mean, you could totally. You said nobody's touching him. Nobody. And go down a little bit. Nobody's touching him, and he's just like he's, you know, going all Superman.
The air currents near him.
Now, just talk about diving. Now, in soccer, because why is that? When two team play, and the professional soccer players would try to challenge the defense. So that if the defense do anything like unsportsmanlike conduct, so the referee will give them a yellow card. Why is that? Because in soccer, if you get the first yellow card, that player for the rest of the game could be very cautious now. Because if he receive one more yellow card, that could make it red card, and he will get thrown off the game automatically. So what you want to do is you want to play hard, but you want to challenge the defender. So. Yeah. They make a major mistake, get a yellow card. For the rest of the game, that player just watch you play, but he not will come close to challenge you anymore.
And that could be advantage. So a red card for hockey, a red card is like a power play for the rest of the game.
Pretty significant.
Like you're down a player for the other the team that gets a red card. That player, he leaves the pitch. He leaves everything. He has to go into the locker room. So, like, their team is down a player for the rest of the game. So that's a big deal. And not only that, but then the player can't play in the next game. So that it's a pretty big offense. So the next game is Costa Rica versus Greece. Costa Rica and Greece, neither were expected to move on into the round of 16. And so this was going to be an exciting game just because they were the two underdogs that happened to be playing each other. And it was a close game. It went all the way to penalty kicks. There was not a single goal scored in regular time or in overtime, which is an extra 30 minutes of game. So that's playing 120 minutes of soccer, nonstop. I mean, it's amazing that these athletes. but Costa Rica just was able to pull it out with five. They kicked all five of their penalty kicks in the shootout in the end. It was really cool. But I need to rant because one of the players for Costa Rica is on my team, Fulham. And this guy has not done anything for Fulham in the 2 years that he's been there. And now he gets in the World Cup and he does all kinds of things. It is not fair. It is not fair.
I'm just trying to make the connection here. Father,
and
just
now he's
going to
be sold, which we'll get. What? Yeah, I'm going to. Yeah. Yeah, he did it. He please played all World Cup and played well. And now we're probably going to get lots of money for him to be sold. And then he won't play well on another team. So anyway,
well, or what's worse, he might really play well on another team.
Yeah. Well, the thing is he's a creative player. He's a creative player, but the English Premier League is just, it's a lot more physical. And he just can't handle that physicality. I mean, they didn't really play teams that were overly physical, and I think that, and when they did, they couldn't handle it. And we'll see that in the next round. Argentina versus Switzerland. Switzerland, you know, have a good team, but Argentina has Lionel Messi, and when you have Lionel Messi,
not only that, they have a Pope.
Yeah, they had the Pope on their side. Yeah, well, that's right. That was the Pope.
I saw a cartoon. Someone posted online. Yeah, yeah.
And then the final game was U.S. versus Belgium. And the U.S. were afraid. You could tell with the lineup that they put in that they were afraid of Belgium, which really did not leave them with a lot. They put on a very defensive team, and they didn't ever go forward and finished the 90 minutes. Nobody scored, so we were successful in not letting them score. But you know, we got tired and they scored two goals in overtime. But once they scored, like, that set a spark in us. And there's just something in the U.S. that we have this underdog syndrome that once somebody scores, then we can start attacking. And then we started actually going forward. But it was 110 minutes too late. The good thing, though, or Doug, do you want to say before I talk about Tim Howard?
No, you go ahead.
Okay, Tim Howard.
How about hashtag things Tim Howard can save?
You check out this hashtag. Say it again, Father.
Things Tim Howard could save.
Yeah, this 16 saves in a matter of 100 in regular time, not in the 90 minutes. I think just amazing amount. Our defense was horrible, but Tim Howard was fantastic. The last time that there was 16 saves in a World Cup was 1966. That was like forever. But that was before Pele. That was before Pele. and he just fantastic game, but it still, and it just wasn't enough to keep.
Now to make the connection, make the connection into hockey. On the average, let's just say, you know, a final hockey championship game. How many saves could a goalkeeper has in order to play him to become a MVP of the game? That four saves are good enough? Five saves?
Oh no! In a hockey game, if the goalie, I'd say he'd probably average between 25 and 30 shots.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, but keeping in mind
that he's also protecting a 6-foot by 4-foot net.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to a soccer.
And in a rink that is a lot smaller than a soccer field.
Yeah, and a puck is a little smaller than a soccer ball.
You can shoot from one side or the other really easily.
You know, it's not quite the same game, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot easier to get a shot through to the net.
Yeah. But so that ends the round of 16, goes to the quarterfinals, and we have Brazil versus Colombia. And really, it was the defenders' day for Brazil. The two scorers, Thiago Silva and David Luiz, are their two center backs. These are like their central defenders, the guys who don't actually ever move forward up the pitch. They always kind of stay back. But it was on a set piece for Thiago Silva and a set piece for David Luiz. So they were able to dwell. And James Rodriguez, James the Man, wasn't able to withstand their defense. There was actually a picture that was fantastic after the game. David Luiz, who's the guy with the big poofy afro, Father Daryl, if you've ever seen commercials or things, he's got a big poofy afro, and he is consoling James Rodriguez, and it's just really cool to see like the sportsmanship and the camaraderie among these players, even though, you know, they were enemies just 10 seconds ago. They're, you know, tight. But to me, the story in this is the injury to Neymar, who is like the player for Brazil. He is, you know, their star player, and he breaks his third
vertebrae or whatever.
Vertebrae. There we go. I was gonna say backbone, but that wouldn't sound right. His third vertebrae, because he was kneed in the back by one of the defenders for Colombia. And if you watch the video, it just, like, he intentionally knees Neymar in the back. And I really like for safety's sake for players, the guy really should have been fined. I mean, that is inappropriate in a play, because you're basically not only like harming the man, but you're also like harming the rest of his career and harming, you know, his psychological, because Neymar, like, soccer is everything to him. And I don't know if he could do anything else besides soccer. So, if he didn't, and there was even talk of him after the game not being able to feel his legs, like, that's really dangerous, a spinal injury. I mean, I was angry and worried about that.
So has there been supplemental discipline there?
No, none.
No.
None. And the ref during the entire game actually didn't discipline as much as he should have. There was a lot of fouls that should have been called that he didn't call. He was very, very lenient. And I think that because of that, it kind of escalated to the point that they knew that they could do a little bit more. And so I think he did that to Neymar because he's a target anyway because of his talent and of what he can do on the ball. It was inappropriate. It's not like hockey where you can condone fighting and it's usually to the face or the chest. Like, no, this is not cool.
But even in hockey, it's a similar thing. The ref can let the game get away from him and then, you know, the players will push the envelope and eventually someone will do something stupid.
Yeah. So it was just,
For that injury that the defender from Colombia caused to Neymar in a regular football, again, American football, you said unnecessary roughness, perhaps. That's what.
Certainly. Yeah, but he didn't even get carded. Like, he didn't get anything. Like, it was just like the ref just played on. And I think that's partly because Neymar dives a lot. But when he was like writhing in pain and couldn't move, like, that was, and I was like, is he acting? Because I think he'd cried wolf too many times, and the ref didn't realize that there was an actual wolf there. So we continuing on France versus Germany, World War III. France, thank you very much.
I think you meant World War III in quotation marks.
But France didn't show up. They had an impressive tournament. The entire tournament, they played well, but they just couldn't handle Germany. Which is why later on I'll say that I think Germany is going to win it all. But anyway, the Netherlands versus Costa Rica, fantastic game. Just like it was a hard fought game. It went into penalty kicks, and the manager the coach for the Netherlands decided to substitute the goalkeeper. That's rare. The goalkeeper is rarely, if ever, substituted except during an injury. But he decides to substitute the goalkeeper before the penalty kicks. And Tim Krul, who plays in the English Premier League, he's about 2 or 3 inches taller than the starting goalkeeper. And he intimidated the Costa Rica players. Like, he was very intimidating in the way that he responded to them and the way he talked to them, and he scared them. And they couldn't handle that pressure. And so the Netherlands won the game. And then finally, Belgium versus Argentina. Belgium haven't really played well at all during the tournament. They've kind of just squeaked by, almost like the ones who have enough talent in school, but they don't really try very hard. It seemed like that what Belgium has been doing. But you can't really squeak by Lionel Messi in Argentina. So that's where they
Pope
are.
And Pope Francis.
So, Father Kyle, you want to predict the semifinals and yes. give us a couple highlights?
The semifinals, Brazil versus Germany. I think Brazil without Neymar and without Thiago Silva because of the two red cards or the two yellow cards. I think that Germany will overtake Brazil in Brazil and will rock Brazil's world. But I just, the way that Germany has been playing and the direction and the focus they've had, I think they will be able to handle. Now, the only way is if just like the Brazilians just get so emotional or able to pull something out. But I really think Germany is going to take them. And then Netherlands, Argentina, you know, it could really go either way. The Netherlands, the Dutch have kind of done good, well, semi-sort of. Van Persie had a horrible game the last game against Costa Rica, just had a lot of fuddles. So if he can get himself refocused and score goals, I think the Netherlands has a possibility. But I think it's going to be Argentina. I think Lionel Messi wants to prove how good he is. And even though they will not have Di Maria to be able to kind of direct the offense a little bit more in the middle of the field because of his injury, I think they still will move on. So it'll be Germany and Argentina in the final, with Brazil and Netherlands being in the third place game.
Okay. So Father Doug, what are your predictions for the semifinals?
I'm the same with Father Kyle. Germany will beat Brazil, and Argentina will beat Netherlands. Now, for my final game.
So I'm just going to make my picks here first before we go to the finals. And then also, my dog's got to make her picks, because we always need a bit of control group here. And okay. So my dog will make the picks. But first of all, I will go with the home team, because I think not that I've watched a whole lot of the World Cup, but you know, the home side of things can bring out that extra emotion, and you never know. Besides that, you both picked Germany, so I'm going to pick the contrary one. but I can't possibly go against Pope Francis, so I will pick Argentina as well. And then I have here, this is about as fitting as I can get for a coin toss. I have a Euro coin here. So my dog is about to flip a coin. And it doesn't look like there's really heads or tails on this coin, but on the front side of the Euro coin is a map of Europe. So that will represent the European team. And the other side will represent the non-European team. How's that for excitement?
Sure. Yeah. My question is, your dog is a German Shepherd.
No, she's an Irish breed, so they're not even in it. So here we go. Chloe's making her first pick. And Chloe is picking Brazil. It came up. I don't know. There's like a dude on the one side, so I guess that represents Brazil. And Argentina versus Netherlands. And she also is picking Argentina. So we've got a clean sweep for Argentina here. All the humans and the dog are picking Argentina. And she's siding with me with Brazil. She's a good dog. Very obedient dog.
I'm smelling someone trying to get in the good side with Pope Francis. Is a future bishop appointment for Canada for Father Darrow here? I'm gonna send this audio to Pope Francis now. You try to get favor with Pope Francis.
Oh dear.
Yeah. So do we want to make predictions for the final too? Since
sure.
We're here?
Let's make our finals.
I think Messi's going to love being in the final. I think he's going to cherish it. I think he's going to score one goal, But I think Mueller and Klose are going to score as well. So I think Germany is going to win 2-1.
All right. So Germany, Father Doug, who's your pick?
I predict the final game between Germany and Brazil Germany and Argentina, and I predict Argentina to win for a couple of reasons. Messi has been a good player, and Messi's in real height, he about my height, 4'11" with our shoes or something like that. So I like somewhat about my height. So Argentina will beat Germany in the final, and for a couple, another reason, just for the worldwide event, we have a third Argentine Pope, and we got in 2 years, Argentine Pope and World Cup champion from Argentina. Hey, come on now. That's pretty good for
It's too good.
2 years.
It's too good. I mean, I'm picking... Yeah,
but we still have a German Pope, remind you. There's still a German Pope that is alive.
I wonder if someone in Vatican can take the picture of Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI sitting next to Pope... When Pope Francis watching the World Cup, the final between Germany
and awesome.
Argentina, and they see what kind of bet they say, like, if you win, you know, you have to give me one German beer. If you lose, you got to give me something from Argentina. I don't know. That'd be nice. Like,
I think the current Pope would pawn off some of his paperwork or something.
Encyclical. How about that?
yeah, you got to co-write the next encyclical.
You have to help me to draft the next encyclical.
Well, you can probably hear in the background, my dog apparently wants to make her picks. I'll let her do her pick right now. Now, the coin doesn't work so well anymore. So I guess the European side, I'm going to say is, I don't know, Brazil. And the other side will be Argentina. And Chloe picks Brazil. She's picking the home team.
The home team.
Versus me, on the other hand, I'm going to be picking, I'm going to have to side with Pope Francis. I can't pick against Pope Francis. So I'm going for Argentina. So we've got Germany for Father Kyle, Father Doug and myself for both Argentina, and Chloe, my dog, who is currently licking my feet. Ay, ay, ay. She's picking Brazil, and that's kind of ticklish. Stop that.
Great. Now, Father, since this is my first show doing this show with all of you, may I give out my Twitter account so the listeners can follow me and send me a tweet if they like?
Absolutely. What's your Twitter account? How can they find you?
I think Father Cal go like this. I went out to study 6 years in New Orleans, and the nickname for New Orleans Saints, the NFL football team down there, is the Who Dat Nation. So when my friends chant Who Dat, my last name is spelled Vu, V-U. So when they chant Who Dat, I say Vu Dat.
That's awesome.
So when I got to radio, like just like everybody in radio and TV, you want to have like Stephen Colbert Nation. So when I got on radio here in Birmingham, I call myself the Vu Dat Nation. So my Twitter is Vu Dat Nation. V-U-D-A-T Nation.
And we'll find all this. I'll put this all on the website, thesportsfathers.com. And Father Kyle, people can find you at
Colonel for God, Colonel, the number 4, God. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Google Plus that way.
And of course, I'm at Fr. Daryl. But you can find all that information, all those links will be over at thesportsfathers.com. So thanks a lot, you guys, for sharing your insights about the FIFA World Cup. This has been a lot of fun.
Sure. And so
it was awesome.
Stay so long for now.
Adios.
Keep fit and have fun.